Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Today's Daf is Yuma Nun Ches. We begin 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara Nosan, Esamoli Bereka. When the Kohen Gadol was done, the Matanos, the Hazois, on the Pareches, he then went ahead and mixed the Dama Par together with the Dama Soyer. As the Mishnah says, he pours the Dama Par into the Dama Soyer. And then the Mishnah adds another phrase, Nosan Esamoli Bereka. And the Gemara at this point figures that he actually placed the Kli, which is now filled with Dam, with this mix of Dam Par Dam Asur, he placed that Kli into the Reikon, into the empty one. He had one which was filled to the brim, and one which is entirely empty. So he placed the one which was full into the empty one, perhaps to avoid spillage. And that's how he proceeded to the next stage, where he would take the Dam and apply it to the corners of the Mizbeach. This is the starting point for the next sugya. Ba'aminei, Rami Bar Chama Merav Chizda. Rami Bar Chama Esrav Chizda Shaila. What happens if he niach Mizrak b'seich Mizrak? The Kohen should decide to take an empty container, the Mizrak, which was generally used to do Kabbalah Stam from a carbon. He placed an empty Mizrak into another empty Mizrak. Hiniach Mizrak b'seich Mizrak v'kibel bo yisadam ma'u. And he decided to do Kabbalah Sadam in that fashion. Generally speaking, there may not be any chatzitz, any barrier between the Kohen's hands and the item, the object of avodah. Pasuk says he's meant to take Kabbalah Sadam directly. Of course, it doesn't mean in his hands. It means by handling a kli, which will contain the dam. But in this case, there's a double kli. There's one kli inside the other. Mahu, what is the halacha? Min b'minei chaytetz, shall we say? Since both kelim are of the same type, some mafarshim say they're both gold. Rashi learns they're both considered mizrak, same type of kelim. Shall we say that we don't consider them to be separate entities? We view them as though they're both the same thing. Min b'minei chaytetz, does it form a barrier, even though it's the same min? Ay einei chaytetz, or shall we say, there's no chatzitza here. They're both the same type. And we consider it as though the Kohen is actually holding that kli with the dam directly. Says Rashi up on top. This wasn't a question directed at Yom Kippur. Rather, it applies to any Kabbalah throughout the year. He placed one kli into the other. And he only handled the outer kli. Is that considered a direct avodah, a direct Kabbalah? Min b'minay, Rashi learns, is mizrak b'mizrak. Chaytetz, v'nim tzashen Kabbalah zu b'kayin. There was no Kabbalah done by a kayin. Sharei enoy eichez b'mizrak, shadam boy. He isn't handling the mizrak with the dam directly. He's handling the outer kli, which contains within it the kli with dam. That's not called a direct masa Kabbalah. That was the Shaila to Rav Chisda. Response of Chisda Amarlei. We have a Mishnah. Tani Sua. Take a look at our Mishnah, which tells us that after he poured the Dam Par into Dam Asoyer, where he now has a Kli filled with Dam, another Kli totally empty, what is he meant to do? Nosan Esamoli Bereka. He takes the full Kli, puts it into the empty Kli, and handles it in that manner. My love, should we not assume Hoishiv Mizrak Molei Utoich Mizrak Reikon? And he placed the filled Mizrak into the empty one and handled it in that manner. Apparently, Min B'mino is not Chaitzitz when it comes to Avoida, when it comes to Kachim. Because the Pasuk here tells us V'lokach Midam Apar U'Midam Asor, and takes that Dam and places it on the corners of the Mizbech. There needs to be a Masa L'Kicha. How is this a Masa L'Kicha? If the outer kli will present a chatzitza between the kohen and the inner kli, apparently min b'mino is not chaitzitz. Now the mafarshim explain, of course, there was no question as to the general status of min b'mino. They all knew that when it comes to other halachis, for instance, netilas lulav, etc., etc., min b'mino doesn't present a concern. Shaila was specifically when it comes to avoda, when it comes to kachim. Perhaps that stands higher and has more restrictive guidelines. And he responded, no, we see clearly in the Mishnah. You can hold a double kli without any concerns. Says Marloi, that's actually not what we're speaking about. Ira Mizrak Mali. L'toich Mizrak Reikin. The Mishnah says, V'nosan Samali Reikin. Mishnah means he poured the content of the filled Mizrak into the empty one in order to mix it properly. That's all it means. Says the Gemara. Why would he have to do that? Hatan and the Reisha. Mishnah already told us that he mixed them together. Ira Da'apar. He already mixed the pot to the sir. Why would he have to do it again? To pour this mixture back into the empty one. To create a proper mixture. Farshim say that the dam of par and the masur have different consistencies and wouldn't mix properly. Unless he did a double mix, one and then again. And we need a properly mixed mixture here. The pasuk says, has to apply the dam achas bashana, which we learned yesterday to mean a single application. It has to be considered like one entity. Therefore, he mixes it properly to effect that proper iruv. That's what the Mishnah means. We have an arayah from our Mishnah, Tawa Shaila of Mimbamina. So if they mixed it back into the other one, he took that kli directly without any intermediaries. Toshma, let's bring another raya to the shayla. Mishnah Zvachim says, we know that a kohen is meant to be positioned directly on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. There cannot be a chatzita between his bare feet and the floor of the Azara. The floor is makadosh the kohen, and there can't be any chatzitzis. What if he was standing on a kli? Or on his friend's foot? Possible, because he's not standing on the floor. Well, regel chaveri is min b'minai, the same type of material as his own foot. Apparently, when it comes to avoid, when it comes to kachim, even min b'minai is chaitzitz. Shani regel. Delei matzi mevatale. A regel is different. You cannot be mevatale a regel. Somebody's foot. The Meiri says, even if his friend should choose to be a nice guy and say, okay, I'm mevatale my foot to you, you can stand on it. He says, bat ladato etzel kol adam. This mindset is negated. It's not considered proper procedure, and it's not considered a proper bittul. So you have no right from here. This is a different type of situation. Min b'minai would work because it's considered one and the same entity. One is bittul to the other. But here, you can't even bittul the foot. That's why it doesn't work. Ikad de amri hachi ba'iminei. Going to the next version of the Gemara. His question, Rav Bar Chama, his question to Rav Chizda was presented a bit differently. It's not a question of Chatzitza. He had a more specific question regarding Avoida. Yikid Amri Hachi Ba'imine, Derech Sheres Bekach, Oy Ein Derech Sheres Bekach. Suppose he has two Kalim functioning in the same capacity, trying to achieve the same result. Such as in our case, where he has one kli put into the other. He's holding on to the outer one in order to be mekabel with the inner one. Is that considered derech sheres? Is that considered a proper manner of doing avoida? Derech sheres bekach, or ein derech sheres bekach? Or perhaps it's not considered an appropriate manner of doing avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, in which case, it'll be considered like a chatzitza, be considered an avoida psula. Each kli has his own specific function, his own tachlis. He can't combine two kalim and do one function with them. Toshma, he brought him a raya from a braisa, and it works. The Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, es kol kli asharis, ashi yishar sum b'makodesh. The pasuk says, all the clay sharis, plural, lashon rabim, asher yishar sum b'makodesh, which combine to provide a sharis. We learn from here, Shnei Kalim Misheris Achas. At times you can use two Kalim for the same avoida, to accomplish the same purpose, the same function, the same Sheris, and it's okay, it's acceptable, it's kosher. Boy minei Rami Bar Chama, Rav Chizda. He asked him another shaila. He niach siv b'soich hamizruk. Suppose he has a kli in which he will be mekabel the dam of the carbon, but he placed a sieve, a spongy material, which Rashi says grows around the palm tree. So it's a spongy, permeable material. He placed it into the mizruk. V'kibul b'yis hadam mau. He was mekabel the dam into this kli with the sponge still in place. What is the halacha here? Although the dam is actually in the airspace of the kli, but there's a chatzit, there's a barrier between the dam and the bottom of the kli. It's not coming into contact with the wall material of the kli. There's a sponge in between. Min b'she'ena mine chaitzit. See, here it's a bit different. Here it's min b'she'ena mine. Sponge is comprised of different material than the kli itself. Shall we say min b'she'ena mine chaitzit? Presents a barrier and gets in the way between the dam and the kli, in which case it's not a kabbalah. Or shall we say no? There's no chatzitza concerns. Why? Because the sponge is different than just a piece of solid material. Since sponge is something which is permeable, it's porous, and the liquid poured on top of it can seep right through it. That's why we're not going to consider it a chatzitza. It's not really considered a chaitzitz. It doesn't really present a barrier when we're dealing with liquids, which run right through it. Perhaps there's no difference between a solid material or a absorbent material. Amalei, he responded, the answer is yes, it's okay. Tanina, we have a Mishnah, which indicates that spongy material does not form a chatzitz. Mishnah speaking about the paraduma water, which was niskabel in a kli, directly from the mayim chayim, from the spring, it was niskabel in a kli. Then afterwards they would add the afer on that mayim, and now the mayim would be kosher to do hazor on the tmimis. So Mishnah speaking about a kli, which had in it some sort of a sponge, a sfeig. Now, of course, the water within the sfeig is possible for hazor, for kiddush, because it's not actually contained in the kli, it's inside a sponge. The shayla is regarding the water around it, the water on top of the sfeig. Mishnah says it's okay. In fact, Mishnah gives us precise instructions as how to go ahead and remove the water, the kasha water, and leave the unkasha water behind. Zoylev vahilich, he goes ahead and he spills out, he draws out the water around and on top of that sponge. Ashamagela sponge until he reaches the sponge. Don't actually touch the sponge, because that would squeeze out some of its water, which is possible. So gently draw the water from all around the sponge, which is kasher, because that water is considered to have been in a kli. He'll ask a shaila, what do you mean? We had that spike separating between the water and the bottom of the kli. So you see that a spike, by virtue of the fact that it's absorbent, permeable, porous, which allows liquids to go right through it, it does not present a chatzitza between liquid and a kli. Of course, you have to stress that the water in the spike is possible, because anything within the sfeig is not considered to be contained by the kli. But that doesn't interfere with the water above the sfeig, which is considered connected to the bottom of the kli, because the sfeig, being permeable and porous, does not present a barrier. So perhaps we have a right from there to our shaila. If he's makabel dam in a kli with a sfeig, it's okay. Shani maya de kli shi. There it's different. It's water. Water has a more has a thinner consistency than dam. In which case, it can just very easily trickle through the sfeig. Therefore, the sfeig does not present a chatzitz, as opposed to dam, which is a bit thicker. That is held back by the sfeig. Ikedami. This is another version of his response. Hachi pashad lei. This is how he responded to him. Bedam kasha. When it comes to dam, a sfoig is not a chatzitza. Because the fact is, dam is also liquid. Bekoimetz is pasul, but when it comes to a koimetz, suppose he's a koimetz for a mincha, the next step being placing that koimetz in a kli, right? He has to be noisen the koimetz in a kli, which is corresponding to the kabbalah's hadam in a kli. In that case, we say, well, he places it on a sfoig, it doesn't work because koimetz is dry material, in which case a sfoig presents a chatzitza concern. When it comes to liquids, such as dam, since theoretically it can just run right through it, that doesn't present a chatzitza, it's not considered a mafsik between the dam and the kli. So in summary, we began with a shayla. Is min b'minei chaitit by avoided by kachin? We had no conclusion on that. According to the second version, the shayla was a specific shayla when it comes to kalim. Can I use two kalim to perform one avoidant? The answer was yes. What is the status of a sieve, of a sfoig, spongy material in a kli? Is that considered a chatzitza, to create a barrier between the content of the kli and the bottom part of the kli, or not? And according to the first version, he had a shayla, he had a raya from Mayim. The response was, well, Mayim is different than dam. According to the second version, by koimetz it doesn't work, because that's hard, and solid, dry material. But when it comes to dam or any other liquid, since we're dealing with a sponge, which cannot really prevent liquid from permeating it, from trickling through it, that's not considered a chatzitza, which case is considered a proper kabbalah satam. Continues the Mishnah. V'yotza el ha-mizbeach asher lefnei Hashem. Zeh mizbeach hazov. So the Kohen was finished with the Azois on the Pareches, and he went out. He went out beyond, past the Mizbeach. Which Mizbeach? Asher lefnei Hashem. Ze Mizbeach Azov. It's referring to the Mizbeach Azov, Mizbeach HaPnimi in the Hechel. Rashi says, Deilu Mizbeach HaChitin, love lefnei Hashem. As opposed to Mizbeach in the Azorah, it's not called lefnei Hashem. So he walked past the Mizbeach. And now he's going to apply the dam par and sar, he mixed them together, he's going to apply them to the corners of the Mizbeach. Of the Mizbeach Hazo. Hischil mechatei v'yared. He begins to apply the dam using a downward motion. Rashi says mechatei is lashon yirida, going downward. Other Rishonim learn mechatei is lashon of tahara, techateini be'ezoiv, lashon of tahara, of kapara, basically referring to the application of the dam onto those corners of the Mizbeach. Now, why does he do it in a downward motion? Rashi explains, this is due to practical considerations. You see, you have the Keren in front of you. Now, if he does it upward, then you're going to have some dam trickle back into his shirt sleeves, in which case his bidei kahuna become pasul. Can't be dirty. So that's why he does it downward, which will ensure that the dam stays out of his shirt sleeves. Hischil mechatei v'yored. He begins applying the dam on those corners using a downward motion. Me'eichan u'masl. So he's now past the Mizbeach. He turns around to face the Mizbeach to apply the dam on all four corners of that Mizbeach. Where's the starting point? From which keren will he begin the matanis? Mikeren mizrachas tzfaimis. So let's just illustrate this. Suppose he's entering the Hechel from the Azor, from Mizrach going towards Ma'ariv. So Ma'ariv is on the far side, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's entering the Hechel. To his right, he's going to find the Tzafin of the Hechel. To his left, the Dorim of the Hechel. Now this Kohen came out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, completed the Hazoyas on the Pareches, and is walking back towards Mizrach. He walks beyond the Mizbeach Azov. Where is going to begin the Azois? Says the Mishnah. Nikaren Mizrachis Tzvaimis. So he begins the Azois, the Matana, on the corner, which is Mizrach Tzafin. So he's not going to put it on the corner, which he bumps into first, because it says V'yotza. He has to go past the Mizbeach, with the Mizbeach between him and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he walks past the Mizbeach, and the first corner that he encounters is Mizrach Tzafon. So he begins there, Mikaren Mizrach HaSfonis, and then takes the path to the right, Derech Yimin, which is the appropriate way to circle the Mizbeach. So he proceeds over to, so he starts from Mizrach HaSfonis, proceeds over to Sfonis Ma'aravis, to Ma'aravis Dromis, to Dromis Mizrachis. Says the Mishnah, Mokim Shu Masl B'chatos Amazbech HaChitzin. That same corner, which would actually be his starting point on your typical Chatos Amazbech HaChitzin, namely Dromis Mizrachis. Why was that so? Because the Kevesh, the ram, took him up from the Dorim direction, in which case then he took a right turn, Derech Yimin. So the first corner that he reached was Mizrach Dorim. So that was his first stop by your typical Chatos Mizbech HaChitzin. Misham HaYigoymer Mizbech HaPnimi. That was actually the last stop, the final destination, when it comes to the Matanis Dam on Mizbech HaPnimi, as we just explained. Because he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim from Tzafon, he went past the Mizbeach. The first corner that he reaches is Tzafon Mizrach. He goes over to Tzafon Marav, over to Marav Dorim, over to Dorim Mizrach. So this is Shitas Tanakam, which is actually Reis HaGlili mentioned in the Gemara. Rav Lezer Omer, Bim Koimai Hoya Omer Demachate. What's Rav Lezer? Since the Mizbeach was only an Amma by an Amma, there was no need for him to circle the Mizbeach. He didn't actually have to walk around the Mizbeach. He would stand in his place. And from his position, would just bend over and apply the Dam on all four corners. Val kulan hayinaisen melamata lamala. And when it comes to the other corners, the ones further away from him, he would apply it melamata lamala, using an upward motion. There's no need for him to go downward, because when you're leaning over, there's no concern about the dam trickling into his shirt sleeve. So downward, upward, starting from Lamata, going up Lamata will be perfectly fine. So that applied to the other corners, the three corners which were beyond him. Chutz mizoy shayis lefando, except for the one directly in front of him, the one that he was facing, shayin noisim mal Lamata. Here, it had to be done using a downward motion. Lamata, lamata. Because otherwise, the dam would trickle back into the shirt sleeve. So according to Tanakama, who holds that he actually walked around the Mizbeach, so when he applied the dam to that corner, it was directly in front of him. And since it was up high, that would require him, for practical reasons, to do it lamata, lamata, downward. Not applied to all four corners, according to Blazer. Since he was just remaining in place and leaning over, so when it comes to the other corners, going upward was fine, except for the one right in front of him, we need to do milamala lamata. So now he completed this stage of the matones on the chronis. Finally, hizo al taharoi shal mizbeach sheva pa'amim. He did seven hazois on a cleared mizbeach. They would clear the top of the mizbeach from the ashes, and he would do hazah there seven times. Ushiyari adam, and the leftovers, hoye shoyfech al yisoid ma'aravi, shamazbech achitzain, he would pour into the yisoid ma'aravi, the base of the mizbech achitzain. So there were two possible locations for pouring shirai. One was the ma'arav side, one was the darim side. This dam went to the ma'arav side of mizbech achitzain. V'shamazbech achitzain, however, the leftovers of dam which was applied to Mizbech HaChitzin, HaYishayvich El Yisay Droimi, that dam was poured into the Dorim side of that Mizbech. The Gemara will give us the reason for both these halachas. In any case, Elu Ve'elu, both leftovers, both the ones that were spilled into the Dorim or to the Tzafon, would eventually mix together, Mis'ar and Ba'amad, would mix up together in this channel running underneath the Mizbech, over to the Nachal Kidron, V'yayitz Nachal Kidron, going to this valley, Vinimkaran Laganonim, which were then sold to farmers, Lazavot, to be used for fertilizer, Umay Alam Bahem, if they benefit without paying, they've committed meal. Continues the Maratona Rabbanon, Viyotza El Mizbeach. You see, there's a fundamental difference between the Hazois on Yom Kippur, speaking about the Parvisur, where the dam, when sprinkled on the Parichas, would require the Kohen to stand in front of the Parichas, between the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Parichas, as opposed to the Hazois on the Parichas done by other Kavans, Par Kohen Mashiach, Par Helam Davishal Tzibur. Par Kohen Mashiach is where the Kohen Gadol did a grave Avera and he has to bring a special carbon for that, or if the Tzibur, following the Psak of Bezin, did an Avera, they have to bring a carbon, Par Helam Davishal Tzibur. In those cases, the Hazah was done a bit differently. The Kohen would actually stand beyond the Mizbeach, past the Mizbeach, and do his Hazois directed at the Parichas, but from a distance. So, once again, he's standing, he enters the Hechel, he has the Mizbeach HaPnimi, he has the Parichas to the far end. When it comes to Yom Kippur, he would stand between the Mizbeach and the Parichas, and do the Hazois directly towards the Parichas, from close by. When it comes to the other Karbanas, he would stand beyond, past the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and do the Hazois in the general direction of the Parichas, but from a distance. How do we know this difference? The Gemara will prove it from Pesukim. Tanur Rabbanu v'yotzel mizbeach. This is the pasuk by Yom Kippur. He's meant to go out. Not Talmud Loimar. What's the point of v'yotzel? Pasuk could have just said v'chiper al mizbeach hashafnei Hashem. What's the point of saying v'yotzel? Left. He went out. He exited. Amar Rabbi Nechemiah. It's coming to tell you that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is meant to go past the mizbeach to do the matanis on the kronis, but what does that tell you about the hazois done right before that? It's coming to tell you the hazois towards the parechas were done before he exited the area, before he left the zone, while he was still between mizbeach hazov and the parechas. Over in the par habal kol mitzvus, we find by the other carbon. Shekoyin oimid chutz mizbeach, that while doing the hazois towards the parechas, where was he situated? Beyond the mizbeach. Mizbeach was between him and the parechas. Shekoyin oimid chutz mizbeach umaz al parechas b'shal shumazeh. So he was standing beyond the mizbeach while he was applying those hazois towards the parechas. Yochel afsekein, perhaps on Yom Kippur he would follow the same procedure. He would stand beyond the mizbeach at a distance, have the Mizbeach intercept between him and the Parichas while he was doing the Hazois towards the Parichas. No, that's not so. Talmud Leimar, V'yotza El Mizbeach. That's what the Pasuk says. When you've done the Hazois towards the Parichas, go out, leave the area, go past the Mizbeach. What does that tell you about his position while he was doing the Hazois on the Parichas? Hechnoya, where was he? Lefnim on Mizbeach. Apparently, he was in the Mizbeach, meaning he was standing between the Mizbeach and the Parochas. That's why the Pasuk says V'yatza. Tanidach, we have another Braisa. We are going to learn that when it comes to the other Karbanis, the Hazois towards the Parochas occurred when the Kohen Gadol was standing beyond the Mizbeach, with the Mizbeach between him and the Parochas. Because the Pasuk there says that he's going to apply the Dam on the Kronis of the Mizbeach, Mizbeach HaKteres, Mizbeach HaZov, which is Lefnei Hashem. Ma Talmud Leimar. Why does the Pasuk have to say he's going to apply it onto the Mizbeach, which is Lefnei Hashem? We already know that Teres HaSamim, the Mizbeach HaSamim, the Mizbeach on which you are Maktik Teres, is Lefnei Hashem. That's the one in front of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why then does the Pasuk have to add Lefnei Hashem? Ma Talmud Leimar, what's the point? Amar Rabbi Nechemiah, it's coming to tell you where he's meant to stand when he does the hazois facing the parechas. Lefi shematzinu parvisur shema kippurim, because we find on Yom Kippur, where's the kohen going to stand? Shekohen oimid lefinim and amizbeach umaz al parechas v'shoa shumazeh. We find on Yom Kippur, where was the kohen standing? Lefinim and amizbeach, between mizbeach and parechas, while he did hazois on the parechas. Yochel afsekein, perhaps this will also apply to these karbanis, to Par Helam Davar, to Par Kohen Mashiach. that he's meant to stand between Mizbeach and Parichas. Tamal Omer, Mizbeach Teres Hasamim, Lifnei Hashem, Asha Bo'il Moed. That's what the Pasuk adds, Lifnei Hashem. He goes ahead and he applies the Dam on the corners of the Mizbeach, Mizbeach HaKteres, which is Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem is coming to tell you that the Mizbeach is Lifnei Hashem. Only the Mizbeach is meant to be directly before Hashem, in front of the Kodesh HaKadosh. Ve'en Kohen Lifnei Hashem. As opposed to the Kohen, even when he's applying the Hazois towards the Parechas, he's not meant to stand Lifnei Hashem. He's meant to have the Mizbeach Mafsek between him and the Kodesh HaKadosh. Okay, how does this work out? How do you do this? Oymed chutz l'mizbeach hamazon. When it comes to the other korbanos, he's going to stand past the mizbeach, turn around, and direct his azois at the parochas, but from a distance. So in short, when it comes to Yom Kippur, the azois on the parochas were done when the Kohen Gadol was standing right before the parochas. And afterwards, he did viyatza. He left the area, went past the mizbeach to apply the azois, the vatonis, on the kronis of the mizbeach hachitz haplimi. When it comes to the other korbanis, everything was done past the mizbeach. The azois towards the parochas were done from a distance, with the mizbeach azov intersecting between him and the parochas. And afterwards, he would apply the dam to the corners of that mizbeach. So Mishnah says, hischa machatav yurid. He went and he applied the dam to the corners of the mizbeach haplimi. What was the starting point? Which Karen would be his starting point? Now this is going to be Shitas Rabbi Akiva, different than the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva holds that there were two parochos, this wasn't by a sheni, two curtains at the entrance to Kodesh HaKadosh. Right? Because we had a Suffolk, the Amatraxon, what is it? Does it belong to the Kodesh or Kodesh HaKadosh? So they made a double curtain system. And as we learned, the outer curtain, meaning the one closest to the Heichal, was folded up, was propped up on the left side, on the Durham. The inner one, the one closest to Kodesh HaKadoshim, was propped up on the right side. I say right and left, I mean when you're facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the Heichal. So the outer one was propped up, was open from the left, from Durham. Therefore, this shita, which is a rekiva, holds that since he exited Kodesh HaKadoshim from Durham, from the left, he then applied the hazois on the parochas and continued along that very same route. V'yotza el ha-mezbeach, went past the mezbeach, and where did he end up? So he left Durham and went past the mezbeach. Where did he end up? Durham Mizrach. So that was the starting point. Meichnei Maschel, Mikaren Mizrach is Droimus, Mizrach Dorim. And then he proceeded to Droimus Maravis. Over to here. Maravis Tzvainis, over to here. And Tzvainis Mizrachis, Divir Rekiva. So we find two differences between Rekiva and our Mishnah. Rekiva holds that there were two parochos, in which case he exited from Durim, and he encountered the Durim side of that Mizbeach first. So he went past the Mizbeach. He arrived at Durim Mizrach, where he began the Matonis, and then went towards the left. So he didn't take a path to the right, as in our Mishnah. He took a leftward path. Comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, starts Mizrach Durim, and goes leftwardly around the Mizbeach. Rabbi Isaac Lili Omer, he disagrees. Number one, he says, there were no two parochas. He holds like Rabbi Yossi. There was no Suffolk. There was only one curtain, which was open on which side? On the right side, facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was open on the right, and the Suffolk side. So the Kohen left the Kodesh HaKadoshim from Suffolk, applied the Matanis on the parochas, and then went past the Mizbeach. Right, so he couldn't apply the dam on that first corner because he meant to go past the Mizbeach. So the first eligible candidate was Mizrach Tzafon. So he began there. Right? He began there. And according to Rabbi Yisrael Lili, he meant to take the path to the right, Derech Yemin, She began Mizrach Tzafon, over to the right, Marav Tzafon, over to Marav Dorim. Last stop on his journey was Mizrach Dorim. Basically, the argument, Mikarim Mizrachas Tzvainis, Tzvainis Maravis. Maravis Dramis, Dramis Mizrachas. Interestingly, Mekoyim, Shabiesek Lili Masl, the same corner which was Rabbi Lili's trigger point, meaning when Rabbi Lili, he started suffering, and the first corner that he did was suffering Mizrach, Shom Rabbi Kiva Paisek. That was the last corner, according to Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Kiva, he began on the other side, on Mizrach Dorim, made his way around this way, he ended up. His last corner was the starting point of Risaglu. Mokim Shah Rakiva Masl, the corner where Rakiva began, which was Mizrach Dorim, Shom Risaglu Paisik, that was the last stop of Kontra Risaglu. Okay. So you have two versions of how this happened. Either he began on Safan or on Dorim, Kontra Risaglu. Since he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim from Tzofan, he began on that side, and he took the path to the right around the Mizbeach, according to Bakiva. There were two Paroichas, in which case the outer one was open to the left, to Dorim. So that's where he exited. He arrived to the Dorim of the Mizbeach. So he began there, and took a leftward approach, a leftward path, around the Mizbeach. The Kuli Alma Mia all seem to agree, Bahu Karen the Pug of Resha, the first corner that he encounters, Lo Yavid. Doesn't apply Dom to that corner. Why not? We know that you meant to grab the mitzvah at first opportunity. Eim avir ala mitzvahs. We learn it from a pasuk, shmarta mes hamatzis. We have a drasha, shmarta mes hamitzvahs. Mitzvah habo liyotcha altach mitzema. You're not meant to have a mitzvah become chametz stick. Leave it around and pass over the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So why wouldn't he apply the Dom to that first corner? My timer. Omar Shmod Amakro, V'yot Al Mizbeach. He's meant to leave the area, to go out. Ad Nafek Mikul Mizbeach. He has to go past the Mizbeach. So the first corner is out. We'll agree. He's going to skip the first corner and go to the second corner, the corner which is farther away from Kodesh HaKadoshim, and begin there. And as we explained, it's really based on the Kohen Gadol's route. The direction from which he exited Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is based on a shayla whether there was one pareches or two, which is based on a shayla whether the Amat Raksan was a suffolk or not. So that we understand. There's one shayla still remaining. Why does a Rekiva insist on following a derech smile? We understand why he had to begin at Mizrach Doran, because that was his route. He came from that direction. He skipped the first corner, V'yatza. He started Mizrach Dorim. But why wouldn't he take Derech Yimin, which is the accepted, proper procedure when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to avoida? Why did Rabbi Kiva say that he goes this way, to the left, rather than taking the path to the right? Rabbi Kiva, Nakiv Derech Yimin. Says him, or perhaps Rabbi Kiva disagrees with the concept of Derech Yimin. Shall we propose there's actually a machlokes tanoim here regarding Rami Bar Yecheskel's chiddush? Rami Bar Yecheskel tells us that he meant to follow Derech Yimin. The Amar Rami Bar Yecheskel, Yam Shasa Shleimai, this large pool constructed by Shleimai Melech, which was in the Beis Hamikdash. The pasuk describes it as follows: it was supported by these oxen. I made al shneim asar bakar. It was standing on 12 bakar. Shloisha poinim tzafayna. And the pasuk goes around. There were three facing in either direction. Three of these bakar, which were supporting the yam, were facing Safan side. Shloisha poinim yam. Three facing marav. So you see, we're following the right, Safan, then marav. And Dorim, the Mizrach. So we're taking a Derech Yimin. Shloisha Panim Safayna, Shloisha Panim Yama, Shloisha Panim Negba, this is Dorim, Shloisha Panim Mizracha, which is the east. Vayam Aleim, Milamalo. And the Yam was positioned above, v'chal acharim beisa, with the backs of the bakar facing the interior cavity underneath the yam. In any case, the fact that the pasuk chooses to present it in this sequence, going from Tzafon to Marav to Darim to Mizrach, that tells you that the proper way to encircle something is derech yimin. Halamanto shekol pinah at the point whenever you take a turn, lo yu'al derech yimin lemizrach. Take the right path. Rashi says lemizrach is not really relevant to Al-Gamar. So that's the chiddush presented by Rabbi Yecheskel based on the pesuk. Shall we say mar islei to Rabbi Bar Yecheskel? Rabbi Yecheskel who maintains he meant to take derech yimin follows Rabbi Bar Yecheskel. Umar leslei to Rabbi Bar Yecheskel as opposed to Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold to this halacha. So he's chayek on the whole concept. Loi, the kuli alma islu, the Rambam Bar Yecheskel. Perhaps everybody theoretically agrees with Rambam Bar Yecheskel. Generally speaking, you take derech yimin. When it comes to things related to the mizbeach, to the azura, where the yam shel shleima was situated, v'acha ba kemifliki. The question here is as follows: Mar sova yalfinon pnim mechutz. Here we're speaking about mizbeach pnimi, which perhaps follows different guidelines. So one shita, Reish Lakish says, no, Yalfina Pnimi Chutz, we derive the halacha stated by Chutz, by the Azorah, Mizbech HaChitzen, etc. And we extend that inward into Mizbech HaPnimi as well. He meant to do the Rechimen. Umar Sarvala Yalfina Pnimi Chutz. Rekiva holds, we don't learn one from the other. Not necessarily shall we say that anything that applies outside applies in the Hechel. Therefore, he doesn't subscribe to Derech Yimin when it comes to the Mizbech HaPnimi Nechel. Says the Gemara, okay, you don't have to go Derech Yimin. You don't have to. But why Davka Derech Smoil? Rabbi Kiva Nehidul Yolof Pnim Chutz, fine. He doesn't learn Pnim from Chutz. You don't have to do Derech Yimin. But he should leave it up to us. Iboi Hachi Ne'avid. Iboi Hachi Ne'avid. If the Kohen Gadol chooses to do Derech Yimin, fine, let me do it that way. If he chooses Derech Smoil, that's also fine. Why does Rekiva sort of insist on Derech Smoil? Amalcha Rekiva, I'll explain to you why I presented it in that sequence. There was a specific reason for it. Why? Midina, because Alpidin, Bahu Keren the Pagabarish, that corner which he encounters first, Bahu Ovid Barish, really, that's the first corner that he should be addressing. Bahu Avid Barish. Why? Damarish Lokish. Aim Avir al Mitzvahs. Not meant to. Bypass a mitzvah opportunity. So when he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim from Darim, really, he should be addressing the first corner. Not skip it over. Why then did he skip it over? V'amayloi Ovid. Why didn't he address the first corner? Shum Dachsevi Yatzel Mizbeach. At a pasuk. He's meant to pass the Mizbeach. So he has to sort of bypass that corner. We learn Adonofik Mikul Mizbeach. He has to pass the entire Mizbeach. And begins at the Mizrach Darim corner. Fine. But keep in mind that he passed over that first corner. He has to console it. He has to go back and take care of it right away. Mekivan the Yoyev, Bahu Karen. But once he's done with that Karen, Hadar Asi, Bahu Karen. He should go back to that one, to the one that he skipped, to Yechayev. Lemei separation, the one which he really was obligated to dress first. So all of the pasuk tells you v'yatza, you're left with no choice but to pass over that first keren, that first opportunity. You have to go past the mizbeach and do the dam on the keren farther away, which in this case is mizrach darim. Once you've done that, says the Rekiva, go back as a sort of consolation to the other corner which you skipped, to the mar of darim. Try to minimize the Eir Ma'virin al Mitzvah's effect. And of course, once he's there, he just continues along the same path and completes the other two, Matanais, Marav Tzafayim, and Mizrach Tzafayim. Any time for a brief Chazara. We had a Shaila regarding Min B'minai, if it's Chaitzitz when it comes to Avoida, to Kachem. We left it unresolved, but we had another Shaila regarding using two Kalim for one Avoida, which the Gemara concluded to be acceptable. We had a shayla regarding a spongy material in a kli. Does it pose a chatzitza concern? And according to the Ika de Amri at the end of the Gemara, we're dealing with liquid, there's no concern because a spongy material doesn't really get in the way of liquid. When it comes to dry material like a kaimetz, it poses a chatzitza. We learned about the final two steps when it comes to the matan dam parvisar. One was regarding the matanis on the kronis of mizbeach achi apnimi, and one regarding the sheva hazois on the top of the mizbeach apnimi. When it comes to the kronis, according to the Tanakhama, it turns out to be a Rabbi Aglili in the Gemara, he would actually make his way around the mizbeach and apply the dam using a downward motion to prevent the dam from trickling back into his shirt sleeves. According to Belezi, he actually would stand in place and lean over to apply the dam on all four corners. In the Gemara, we present machlokes between Reis Aglili, who's the Tana of Al Mishnah, who holds that there's only one Pareches, in which case he will exit the Kodesh HaKadoshim from Tzafon and take care of the matanis on the pareches. Go beyond mizbeach v'yotza, beyond the mizbeach, apply the first matan dam on the tzafin mizrach corner, then take the route to the right. Derachimin, marav tzafin, marav dorim, and finally mizrach dorim. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's the other way around. Why? He holds that there was only one pareches. There were two pareches by Kodesh HaKadoshim. In which case, the outer one was hooked up on the Darim corner. So he would exit from Darim, approach the Mizbeach from that direction. He would have to skip over the first Karen, apply the Dam to the second Karen, Viyatza, which is now Mizrach Darim, then go back to address the one that he skipped over and continue along that same path. We discussed the Shiraim of the Dam, which was poured into the Yisoid Ma'aravim Mizbech HaChitin. We also discussed the difference between the Kabbarnas of Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol would stand right in front of the Pareches and apply those Hazois towards the Pareches, as opposed to the other Kabbarnas, Paralim Davashal Tzibur, Par Kohen Mashiach, where although there were Hazois towards the Pareches, but the Kohen would stand behind the Mizbech HaPnimi, in which case Mizbech HaPnimi was situated between him and the Pareches while he was doing those Hazois. Kol Tov to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.